This podcast brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb. You've probably been reading on our news pages that there's quite a bit of activity in electric aircraft across the board, and that's in UAS systems and also man-carrying aircraft. And an undisputed leader in this area is Pipistrel Aircraft there in Slovenia. I've been there a few times, and today we're talking to Tina Tomaszek, who's one of the developers of this technology at Pipistrel. And Tina, I was there two summers ago, flew the new Alpha Electro, which was then a prototype. Since then, quite a lot has happened. You've really reorganized your production line, and you're producing more of these things. You're producing, I think you said, 5 to 6 a month. Tell us what's going on there and where these airplanes are going and what the production outlook is.
Yes, since the prototype flew under the name of WhatsApp, Pipistrel decided to bring in-house also the production of all of the powertrain components. So the motor, the power electronics, the batteries, these are now all produced in-house. So the Alpha Electro is 100% built in-house at Pipistrel. And because of that, we also reorganized our production floor space. We have 3 assembly lines, and one of them since late last year, December 2017, is dedicated to producing only electric airplanes. Dominantly, this is the Alpha Electro, 5 to 6 a month at this time, flanked by a smaller number of Taurus Electro, which is the electric self-launching motor glider.
And you have already achieved nearly 50-50 production with the gasoline version, correct?
Yes, we have seen unprecedented demand for the electric airplanes on the trainer side. The Alpha Electro is designed to be catering for, let's call them, near to an airport operations. This is where training happens the most. It's not a cross-country airplane. It depends on the infrastructure, charging infrastructure to be established. And this is the role that previously was covered by the Rotax-powered Alpha Trainer. So right now, they tell me in the sales department that about a 50-50 ratio of orders are coming in, and that they're seeing more and more requests towards the electric version, which makes us really happy as developers.
Now, a great deal of these airplanes are going to the European market and other areas outside the U.S., although some are going to Canada and a few to the U.S. We'll talk about that in a minute. How are these? These are primarily trainers. How are these flight schools using these things? Because they do have to accommodate the recharge cycle.
Yes. So first and foremost, there is the bureaucratic mountain to climb. Not all countries are acceptable to the idea of flying electrically, let alone training with electric aeroplanes. So Pipistrel is working with pretty much every single civil aviation authority out there where the request exists or interest exists to deploy electric aeroplane into the training segment. So we are not only taking care of airworthiness of the aeroplanes, we are catering for training programs, training syllabi. As a matter of fact, we have established a free-of-charge online training portal for electric flight in general, not just for the Alpha Electro. So it's an interesting time to be in because certifying an aeroplane has never been more complex. We have to take care of justifying appropriate pilot licenses, training programs, as well as establishing the charging infrastructure. So Pipistrel, alongside the aeroplanes themselves, the Alpha Electro, is also catering a full suite of dedicated chargers, mobile as well as permanent installations, so that the airports and operators can equip themselves to accept operations of this aeroplane.
Are any countries in Europe or any flight schools in Europe using them? They are using them for active training?
So the first two countries are Switzerland and France. This operation is supported, and there is oversight both from the national aero clubs as well as the civil aviation authorities. So they are pilot projects. There is a flight school in Australia which is already using the Alpha Electro for pilot training, so ab initio pilot training. So these are early times and things take time to develop, but there are people being trained on Alpha Electro as we speak.
And I assume that as we go forward in time, those countries, they'll launch these pilot programs, and assuming they're satisfied with the results, then they will codify it so that the electric airplanes can be accepted right alongside gasoline airplanes.
In some countries, this is already the case. Like Australia, they are mostly focusing now on transitions. So how trainee pilots or even pilots that already have licenses, how they would transition to and from electric airplanes. So what intermediate knowledge would have to be taken care for, how would a cross-training solution look like. There are countries where even obtaining permissions to fly these airplanes with already qualified pilots is troublesome. So definitely it's a very interesting time to be, and it does require a lot of attention and coordination with the authorities.
How about U.S. and Canada? What kind of progress are we seeing towards formal approvals there?
So in Canada, we have registered Alpha Electros under the Advanced Ultralight category that exists. It's similar to what the Light Sport category is standing behind in the U.S. The U.S. Itself has a bureaucratic issue with the definition of what a Light Sport aeroplane is. It does call for reciprocating engines and nothing else, but we are in close coordination with the FAA, Kansas office, on releasing the Alpha Electro into controlled ways of operation, building experience and justifying the change of regulation towards embracing electric propulsion.
So basically it's a continuing paperwork exercise to get these approvals. Do you think if you were going to put a time frame on it, 3 to 5 years from now, does it look like this might be something that will be formally approved?
So I cannot comment on the actual time frame, but I have heard numbers that are not as high as what you said now. Mm-hmm. They are more in lines in 2 years or less. But it's definitely not a paperwork exercise. It's a hands-on exercise, obtaining enough real-world data in how these aeroplanes behave relative to the established fleet, how people react to them, so that safety can be catered in an ecosystem. It's not just the aeroplane. It's the airports. It's the charging infrastructure. It's who does what, how, at what time point. You have to know that all of the training and operation specifics are established for a century almost when you talk about gasoline-powered flying, but they are in its infancy when it comes to electric. So it is a continuous development, not of the product, but of how the product may be used and what specifics must be taken care of so that safety is not compromised.
And speaking of operations, the Alpha Electro, at least the last time I saw it, had the option of a quick change battery or charging the batteries in the airplane with a quick charger. Which is commonly used, or are both used, or what's the typical way the airplane is operated?
Yeah, so the airplane still enables both ways, physical swapping of batteries as well as fast charging. We have learned through experience that most people opt for fast charging. It adds convenience and it is more in line with how the electric aeroplanes would be used in the future. So one of the driving factors behind battery development globally is how to shorten charging times. This is something that pretty much every single industry that uses batteries would benefit from mobile phones, laptops, cars, what have you. So we believe firmly that in less than 2 years, charging times for an airplane like the Alpha Electro will go down from 45 minutes possibly to 20, maybe even 15 minutes. And then the whole swapping idea of batteries becomes a lot less attractive. So we are actually promoting and standing in favor of keeping the batteries in the airplane and charging them on the airplane itself.
What's the typical endurance of the Electro now?
So the Alpha Electro is tailored for training flight operations. It's 1 hour of flight and the reserve. This is what the airplane can pull off, and these are effective flight times. So when you wait at holding point taxiing, you aren't burning anything. So that's kind of a difference between flying a regular conventionally fuel-powered airplane and electric. The prop actually stops, and you are literally just waiting, not sipping energy. So when we are talking minutes, they are really effective minutes. So experience has shown that like 45 minutes of electric flight is kind of the equivalent to a 50 to 52 minute mission in a fuel-driven airplane. So they are not equivalent minutes.
If you look at battery energy density, the last time we talked, and everyone I talked to says we see improvements of 5 to 7% a year in these systems. And where are you with the battery chemistries you're using in the Electro? And are there any breakthroughs, do you think, that are imminent?
So we do also see 5 to 7, possibly even 8% improvements per year at the state of the art of energy density with batteries. Now, what these numbers usually don't account for is how this battery can be used. As an example, the Alpha Electro is designed for continual operations, meaning that the airplane can go from flying onto the charger and straight back into flight and straight back onto the charger all the time. There are no rest periods needed in between. To do that, we cannot use actually what is the world's highest density battery, because that, with the internal resistances associated, cannot support this kind of an operation. So the Alpha Electro is a bit higher than 200 watt-hours per kilo on a cell level, which is, let's say, 20% below the economical state of the art. But if we had taken the absolute state of the art in 2017, then the airplane would be limited to 2 sorties, perhaps, and then the plane would be basically bound to the ground, forced to cool off before one could continue flying. And you may realize that for a training environment, this is not the most desired thing. So what I'm saying is that even though better batteries are coming on to the scene all the time, they may not be all applicable to the type of operation you want to achieve. So if you are doing what we call a one-timer, so an airplane that does one long flight and then it doesn't matter for how long it charges, then yes, there could be about a 20% improvement already now. But the practicality of this is questionable. The other question is also, what is the actual cost of operation associated to battery performance and battery life? Usually, when you go towards the edge of energy density, you start to suffer on your life cycles, on the durability of the battery. So it's all diametrically opposed when it comes to physics and chemistry. So if you gain somewhere, you lose somewhere else. So it's a balancing act. Pipistrel is now tracking about 60 chemistries, new battery chemistries that are to come out in the next 2 years or so. And about 10% of those show potential for the kind of applications we do. So flying and different kinds of flying. All the others may be great for consumer products, mobile phones, power tools, what have you, but they are not appropriate for aeroplane use.
If you're looking at your crystal ball, when do we reach 300 watt hours per kg? Is that, I mean, that begins to really change the practicality of the airplane, doesn't it?
So the real breakthrough, I think, will come at around 350 watt hours per kilo on a pack level, meaning when the batteries reach around 380 to 400 watt hours per kilo. So more than 300 is needed. A 300 watt hour per kilo on a cell level would represent a 35 to 40% increase relative to now. And what we think would happen, the airplanes would get fatter, but so heavier, but not deliver much improved performance. When this happens, I think around 2022 or so, some 5 years out, there are some solid forecasts that this kind of energy densities would be available with decent cycle life. Right now, there are chemistries out there at these power densities already, but the number of cycles is such that one would be foolish to consider it for a commercial product. When it comes to a technology demonstration, exploration, that's fine, but something that would have to perform day in, day out, it would simply not make economic sense.
One of the things that you've explored at Pipistrel and that we've talked about is the hybrid idea, and then the Hipster project, which is a serial hybrid, I believe, that uses a gasoline engine to charge batteries, and then batteries are used for power, an electric motor for takeoff and cruise. Where is that project now?
Yes, definitely when one wishes to extend flight time of an electric application beyond 2 hours, hybridization must come into question, at least for the foreseeable future. So Hipster was a project considering serial hybrids, and it concluded with the Ironbird, so ground runs, focusing on the certificability and proving the actual flow of energies and how the functionality of such a powertrain may be. This is continuing now. The project name is Mahepa, and it actually includes two kind of hybrids that will fly from 2000 onwards. One of them is what you have seen under the project Hipster. So it's a hybrid Pantera testbed, a gasoline-powered generator to extend range. The other aeroplane is a hydrogen-powered hybrid. So a complete zero emission long distance flyer. So it's very exciting. There are new components being delivered, essentially carrying forward all of the things that we liked from the project Hipster and correcting a lot of things we did not like. This is the process of learning. So definitely, there's always things that deserve improvement, and this is exactly why we decided to embark on this continuation of the project, which brings the components almost to a production-ready phase.
Now, I seem to recall that Hipster has run, but it has not flown, correct?
Correct.
When do you expect it to fly?
As I said, under Mahepa in 2019, we will be flying both of these hybrid powered airplanes with the new powertrains.
And is the hydrogen, that's not fuel cell technologies, is it hydrogen operating an engine?
It is fuel cell technology. So in Mahepa, there are several partners, universities from the Netherlands and Italy, the German Aerospace Institute, EASA as the party overseeing certification, and Pipistrel as the leading party. So it's a consortium of companies and institutions to carry forward a complete solution from the actual implementation, trials, certificability, as well as scalability of where these series hybrid powertrains may lead onwards towards larger airplanes, 20, 40, 70-seat airplanes.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that brings us up to date, Tina. I appreciate your taking the time.
You are welcome. Thank you very much for dialing in.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb. We've been talking to Tina Tomaszek of Pipistrel Aircraft. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.